We want to thank the church and just thinking about homecoming and the homecoming services in 76 years. I often sit and think about this. I've been at Emmanuel for 20 years now, and I just like to sit and think about all the lives that have passed through the doors since I've been the pastor there, and the church has been there for 50-some years, and all the lives that have passed through and all the souls that have been touched and the lives have been touched by the ministry of Emmanuel Baptist Church. I like to think about that, and you all need to think about that also. Think about all the lives that have passed through the doors of your church in 76 years, the lives that have been touched, the lives that you've made an impact in. You've made a difference in their lives by sharing the truth with them, by being a light shining and a steady presence. You can be thankful for that and be thankful for that the Word of God is what has enabled you to do that. So it is a blessing to celebrate the time that you have together and to remember the past of what God has done for you and to look forward to the future, what God is going to do through you and just be thankful for that. So homecoming services are always a great for us to remember those things. It's good to see Brother Grigsby here today. Some of you might not know, but when the Lord called me to preach, he was my pastor. And one of the things that he did for me was he allowed me to preach. He said that when he was called to preach, he didn't have many opportunities to share the Word of God. And he would sit and prepare messages. The Lord would give him thoughts, and then he'd have no place to preach them. And he didn't want me to feel that way. So he gave me many opportunities and sent me many places that allowed me to utilize the gift that God had given me. And then he's the one that sent me to Sayersville. When I went there, you know, I was like, Sayersville, I've never heard of Sayersville. He said, go, you'll like it. And that was 20 years ago now, so the Lord has blessed me greatly. So we're thankful for him and his family and the influence that they've had upon us. And the message I'm going to preach this morning is based upon things that I've been taught as I have grown. And when I was sitting in the pew, what the impact on the teachings that I learned and how they continue to impact me in my life today. And so we're thankful for that, and we're also thankful for the family that's come from Indiana. They came to hear me live. I don't know. That's what I heard. Why they would do that, I don't know. They can hear me on sermon audio. But anyway, we're glad to see you all today. Glad to meet you all. So we're glad that you're here with us. So take your Bibles this morning, and I'm going to look at Acts 24:2. I'm not preaching from that. That's the only place in the Bible where the word I'm going to preach about is used. And then you can find your place in Genesis in chapter number 50. Some of you, if you happen to listen to sermon audio, you have heard this message before, possibly. And I'm going to talk about things that I have learned. One of the things that's so important to us as we learn the Word of God are things that make an impact on us and teachings that make a difference to us in our lives. And things like the sovereignty of God, that God is God and there is none else, that none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? God is sovereign over all of his creation. That's a glorious truth for us to learn, because we understand that we're not here by accident in this world, but we are here because God has placed us here. And then since God is sovereign over his creation, we also learn something called the providence of God. And simply put, the providence of God is his government over his creation, that he created the world and he is in control of the world. So we understand that. And so when we understand that God created this world, we realize that he has control over the events which happen in his creation. Now I want you to think about that and keep that in mind. Because God created this world, then he has control of this world and he has control over the events which happen in his creation, and that's called the providence of God. So in Acts chapter number 24, in verse number 2, it's the only place where the word providence occurs in the Word of God. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. Now, what that's talking about there is talking about Felix, and is talking about the care that Felix had performed upon the Jews during the days of Paul. Here, Tertullus is accusing Paul, and he's talking about the care that Felix had for the Jews during the days of Paul. That's the only place really that the word is used, but we get an understanding of that word. And even though you're not going to go and search many scriptures that have the word providence in them, the thought and the idea of providence is given to us in the scriptures, that God has care and concern for this world that he has created, and that he is knowledgeable of the events that's taking place, and he is in control of the events that's taking place upon this earth. And what we're really going to do today is we're going to look at that teaching throughout the scriptures. So the understanding of scripture, which we know is displayed throughout the scripture, we look into some dictionaries and encyclopedias to see what they have to say about providence. In ISB, it says this: to foresee, forethought. Forethought and foresight, though, imply a future end, a goal and a definite plan for the attaining of that end. Now, I want you to think about that. God, through his foresight and foreknowledge of this world, has a plan for this world. And his power enables the plan that he has for this world to be accomplished. So God, when he created this world and spoke to this world in 6 days and said, let there be light, and there was light, and he created the world, it wasn't that God just created the world and then said, okay, it's going to happen however man chooses for it to happen, and I don't have any control over it. It's just kind of hanging out there in space, and it will become of it whatever it makes of itself. That's not the way God created this world. God created this world with a specific plan and a purpose, and to bring about his desired end. And so we understand that he has a desired and a definite plan for the attaining of the goal that he has for this world. So it stands to reason to us that since God created this world, he has a plan for it, and it is also reasonable for us to believe that he has the power to accomplish his plan that he has for this world. ISB also says this: rational beings act with forethought to make preparation for every event that is foreseen or anticipated. Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment. That God has a plan for every event which is foreseen or even anticipated. The glorious thing about the providence of God is that God never responds to events with this thought: oh no, I never saw that coming. What am I going to do now? God never responds to anything that happens in this world with that thought: oh no, what am I going to do now? No, when he spoke this world into existence, God knew exactly what was going to happen. Today is October the 18th, 2015. Before God spoke this world into existence, God knew exactly what was going to happen today. God was in control of the events that were going to happen today. Every event that's happening to you in your life today, whatever you're experiencing, the circumstances that you're going through, God knew about those before the world began, and he had put a plan in place to help you with the circumstances that you're facing in your life. Even this day, what a glorious thought the providence of God is. As we've already said, C.D. Cole gives us this definition of God's providence: God's government over his creation. Webster's has this to say about providence: the care and superintendence which God exercises over his creatures. God's care and superintendence which he exercises over his creatures. God has planned forethought over your life. Think about that. You ever just stop and ponder the fact that before God spoke this world into existence, he knew you by name. He knew where you would be born. He knew the events of your life. He actually foreordained those events. And he knows your name, and he knows all about you. Before he created this world, he loved me and ordained that I would be one of his children. Those things amaze me and astound me, and I'm overwhelmed by that thought. But they also give me comfort and assurance, because I know and understand that nothing that happens to me in my life is taking God by surprise. There's nothing that's going to happen to me in my life that God is not in control of and has the power to take control of. And so I can trust him with my whole heart and be comforted by that thought that God is in control through his providence. God has placed forethought over your life. He has seen your days, and he has prepared the care necessary for your life. He knows everything about you. He knows everything that you need. He knows everything that you're going to need. He knows every trial you're going to face. He knows every sickness that you're going to that's going to come your way. All about it, He knows, and He's prepared. Think about that. He's prepared to care for you in your life. You see, as we think about the providence of God and we look into the Word of God, we understand it is the providence of God that caused the ravens to feed Elijah. It is the providence of God that caused the sun to stand still for Joshua. It is the providence of God that caused the waters of Jordan to be cut off so the children of Israel could walk across into the promised land. And it is the providence of God that one day will cause the elements to burn with fervent heat, and we'll see a new heaven and a new earth, and the curse that is upon this earth now will be taken away. It is the providence of God that guarantees that is going to happen in the future. You see, everything that happens upon this earth happens within the realm of God's providence and His care and His superintendence. And you fit into that plan. Amazing to me that the plan that God has for this world includes me. The plan that He has, that one day Jesus is going to sit up on the throne and He's going to be declared King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He's going to rule and reign forever. The plan that God has to bring that about included Mark Douglas Campbell. That is amazing to me. But it is true that everything, every person alive, every event that's happening upon this world today are all about bringing God's plan and purpose together. And that is for Jesus to sit upon the throne and to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever and ever. And my life is included in that plan. So now let's go to the book of Genesis in chapter number 50. Because, you know, sometimes in life you're faced with difficult trials, and you're faced with trials sometimes that wicked men have something to do with them. Wicked men bring them about in your life. The sin that men might commit might affect your life for the rest of your life. What are you going to do about that? Sometimes we might look at the events going on in the world and we might say, well, man, this world is crazy. It's out of control. What are we going to do? What's this world coming to? You ever heard someone say that? Oh, I don't know what this world's coming to. You know, that's the kind of world we live in, right? It's a crazy world that we live in today. You look at the things that men do and you wonder, what good can come out of this? Genesis chapter number 50 and verse number 20, listen to these words. Verse number 19, and Joseph said unto them, talking about his brothers who had sold him into slavery, who wanted to see him dead, who wanted to see him suffer because of his dreams. They wanted to harm him. They wanted to do him evil. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me. God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now, I don't have to go back and to explain all the events of Joseph's life to you, do I? I mean, if we could, we could start back in Genesis chapter number 37 and we could begin reading. And we could read all the way through chapter number 50. Can I fit that in 35 minutes, reading Genesis 37 to Genesis 50? I don't think so. But you all know, right? I don't have to go back and read all of that. You all know the events of Joseph's life. And when Joseph was in the pit, his brothers hated him, and they wanted to kill him, and they threw him in the pit. Can you imagine what it was like for Joseph to be there? God, what are you doing? Why are you letting this happen to me? I can't believe my brothers, they want to kill me, and you've thrown me down into this pit. I thought that all my brothers were going to bow to me. I thought my dad, you know, in my dream was going to bow to me, and I was going to have this place of glory. And how am I going to bring glory to you down in this pit? God, I don't understand this. Joseph may have been overwhelmed. The Bible doesn't really tell us. But we know that at the end of Joseph's life, Joseph understood that all the events that happened to him in his past, God had orchestrated those events to bring about good and to save much people alive. You see, it is the providence of God that teaches us that in Joseph's life, in every place, God's providence was at work in Joseph's life. It was the providence of God that gave Joseph the dream. It was the providence of God that caused his brothers not to murder him, but to throw him in the pit. It was the providence of God that sold Joseph into slavery, and the providence of God that caused Potiphar to buy him as a slave. It was the providence of God that Joseph gained favor in Potiphar's eyes, so that when Joseph was lied upon, he was spared. It was the providence of God that caused Joseph to meet the baker and the butler while he was in prison. It was the providence of God that caused Pharaoh to dream a dream. It was the providence of God that Joseph was remembered while he was in prison. It was the providence of God that Joseph was given the interpretation of Pharaoh's dream. It was the providence of God that caused the wisdom of Joseph to be effective, in that they were able to gain all of the corn, and all the corn grew in the land of Egypt. And the providence of God caused the wisdom of Joseph to work during the days of famine. It was the providence of God that caused Joseph's brother to come to Egypt to seek bread. It was the providence of God that Jacob's descendants survive. And we see here that the wicked thoughts and the intents of men were overruled in many places, right? Joseph's brothers wanted to kill him. God says, "Nuh-uh, you're not going to kill him. I'm going to let you throw him in a pit." So think about this, Joseph's brother. Oh, we got him now. We're going to sell him into slavery, and he's going to go down to Egypt, and he'll suffer down there in Egypt, and we'll see what his dreams are going to be made of now. And God says, "You're doing exactly what I want you to do, because Joseph is going to rise to be the second in control in Egypt, and he's going to save your life one day. So you selling him into slavery is exactly according to my plan." He gets there to Potiphar's wife, you know, and Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him, and Joseph will not sin and is not taken in by that sin. And Potiphar's wife says, "I'm going to get him now. I'm going to set him up." And she accuses him of rape and whatever. Now my husband's going to get you. Now you're going to be killed because you wouldn't lie with me. And she thought that she was going to harm Joseph. And God says, "That's exactly the way I want it to happen. It is through the evil intents of Potiphar's wife that Joseph is able to arise as the second in power in the land of Egypt." You see, and when the butler and the baker, they forgot Joseph down there in prison, you know, it's the providence of God that caused them to remember him there. And all of the events, see, the providence of God put Joseph exactly in the place to where he could be used of God to bring about the plan of God, so Jacob's family would be sustained during the days of famine and they would not perish. Think about these things. Think about this. In our lives, we face difficult circumstances. In our lives, we face circumstances. And have you ever had that thought? "Man, I don't know what I'm going to do now. Looks like I'm going to lose my job. What am I going to do now?" Or, "I just got this report from the doctor. I don't know what I'm going to do now." Whatever, I'm having family trouble, you know. I don't know what I'm going to do now. Have you ever faced those situations in life? We as humans, we face those circumstances because we can't see any farther than our immediate circumstances. We can't see any farther than the supplies that we have at our disposal. We forget sometimes, I don't know how, that God knows exactly where we are, and He has foresight, and He has foreseen, and He has foreplanned and foreordained what He is going to do in our life. So when we lose our jobs, we understand God knew all about that before He spoke this word unto existence. And He knew what He was going to do to provide for you after you lost your job. And God knew that you was going to get that report from the doctor, that you was going to find out that you were sick before He spoke this word into existence. God knew that was going to happen. And He provided what He was going to do through that. Does that always mean that God's going to miraculously heal? No. God chooses to allow us to suffer sickness, right? But through that, He may enable us to minister and to comfort and to experience His presence in a greater way than maybe we ever have before. But God knew, and He knows the supply that He's going to make for your need. Everything about us, every circumstance, every trial and situation that we face in our lives, God knows about it, and He has a plan for it. And remember this, that what you're experiencing in your life, God is utilizing to bring about His plan and purpose and to bring about His glory. This is another message we need to understand. Everything about us is to bring about the glory of God. And to bring about the glory of God, the glory of God is where we show forth the attributes of God and how great and how glorious He is. But everything that happens to us in our lives happens according to the providence of God. You see, the applications for the providence of God is this, that God has plans for this world. He knows all the events which will come upon this earth. He has plans for every circumstance to bring about a desired end. Now, as we have said, God has a desired end for this world, right? His desired end for this world is for Jesus Christ to sit upon the throne to be King of kings and Lord of lords forever and ever. But do you realize that God has a desired end for your life? God has a plan and a purpose for this entire world, and nothing that happens on this world happens outside of the plans and the purposes and the things that God has foreordained. So do you believe that you fit inside the plan of God, that God is working in your life to bring about His plan for the world and His plan for your life? I do. I believe God has a plan for your life. I believe He has desired some things. He wants you to accomplish some things He's going to do, some ways He's going to show the world who He is through you. I know He is. I know He's got a plan for your life. And so we need to understand and realize that the applications of the providence of God is that God is going to bring about His desired end for your life. As we've already said, He has already saw your circumstances. The foreknowledge of God means that He has knowledge of things beforehand. The foresight of God means that He has seen them before. So every event that you're going to experience, God has already seen it. You know, my son was born on August the 29th, 1996. And on August the 30th is when we found out that he was sick. On August the 28th, I knew nothing about what I was going to experience on the 30th. But God did. What I was going to experience on August the 29th, what I was going to experience on August the 30th, I had no idea on August the 29th. But God did. God knew what He was going to do in me and through me and for my son and all of that. He had already made the plans. He had already allowed a man somewhere to create a medication called acetazolamide. Acetazolamide is a medication that causes your body not to produce spinal fluid. It is for, really, glaucoma patients use it. It keeps your body from producing fluids. So God had already allowed some man somewhere to create a medication called acetazolamide. So on August the 30th, really it was sometime in September, when we go to Dr. Kosnick, chief of neurosurgery in Columbus, Ohio, God had already given Dr. Kosnick the knowledge he needed to be able to diagnose my son's sickness. He had already allowed some man the ability to create that medication called acetazolamide, and he gave Dr. Kosnick the wisdom to be able to prescribed that for my son, and he utilized that medication that man had created all through his providence to allow that medication to be used for my son so that my son could be healed from his water on the brain. You see, the providence of God orchestrated all of those events together, unbeknownst to me, on August the 29th, 1996. Is that right? Yeah, I didn't know that I was going to need those things, but God did, and He had already provided the plan. So God has a plan in place for your life. He has seen through foreknowledge the events that you're going to face, and He has already provided the answer for your need. What you are going to need to meet the need that you are going to face, the circumstances that you're going to face, God has already seen and supplied that need. It's unbeknownst to us. But for every circumstance we face in life, God has a plan. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it to you. I don't know what God's going to do. I just know that He does. And if I walk by faith in Him, He'll open the doors. He'll provide. And He'll lead me. And He'll guide me. And He'll direct me. You see, the providence of God orchestrates the events of this world, which means He orchestrates the events of my life, which means He orchestrates every situation in its institution. Nothing can happen to you that God doesn't say, "That's okay." I'll use me for example. I'm going to let your son be sick. He's going to have post-hemorrhagic hydrocephalus. He's going to have water on the brain because he had a brain bleed. It's okay. I'm going to let it happen. And it's okay that I'm going to let your wife get phlebitis, so she'll be bedfast for 5 days while your son's in the hospital in NICU. It's okay. I'm going to let that happen. God ordains the events. He's in control of the circumstances into their institution. He's in control of the circumstances as far as the severity of the act. It can't be any worse than God says is okay. I mean, we don't understand it, but God controls the severity of the circumstances that we face on a daily basis. God controls the duration of those events. How long is this circumstance that we're facing, this trial, this affliction, whatever it is, how long is it going to last? As long as God says it's going to. And not 1 second longer. When God says, "It is enough," it's enough. We trust in that. God is in complete control as to the institution, the severity, the duration, the who, what, when, where, how, and why of all of the circumstances that we'll face every moment of every day of our lives. God is in control of it, and He has orchestrated all the events of our lives to bring about His desired end for our lives. Just like Joseph said, "You meant it for evil, God meant it for good." They couldn't do evil to him unless God allowed it. And it couldn't go any farther than God chose to allow. But in every evil circumstance, it was always to bring about God's desired end for the life of Joseph, for him to save the life of many people. So we understand the providence of God and how it works in our lives and how that we need to be thankful for it and understand that we can take comfort in the providence of God, that knowing that nothing happens to me in my life, but God says it's going to happen, or God chooses to allow it to happen. Nothing is outside of His control, and everything He uses, every circumstance we face, He uses to bring about His will for our lives. Amazing things happen to us when we just walk in the providence of God and trust in Him and look for His hand in our lives. Who knows the things? Oh, let's take this for example. When God called Brother Grigsby to Salem Missionary Baptist Church, that was one event in his life that God used to call me to preach. You see, when I was still lost, and Brother Grigsby was down in Quincy, and I was not even in church anywhere, God had already been orchestrating those plans for the Lord to save me and for the Lord to call Brother Grigsby from Quincy out to Salem Baptist Church and for me to meet a foxy lady. You see, I always said I want to marry a fox. And I did, literally. You see, my wife's maiden name is Fox, so I married me a foxy lady. But anyway, God put her out of Salem Baptist Church, you know, and I started going to church at Salem Baptist Church, and God put us together, and eventually Brother Grigsby comes out there, and God uses all those circumstances to call me to preach, and I stand here today because of that. But all of those things were necessary to bring me to where I'm at today. And all the things that happen to you or in your life are necessary for God to make you who you are and all that God wants you to be. You see, all of those circumstances, God plans them out. Let's think about the providence of God and salvation very quickly. the providence of God, without controlling the events of this world, salvation would not have happened. You see, men would not have been able to satisfy the law, and so therefore men would not be able to be saved. But there, because men could not be saved by keeping the law, God provided the plan. He guided the plan, and He fulfilled the plan. And now He secures the plan. I don't have time to go into each one of those, but you know, God provided the plan. He provided His Son. God guided the plan because Jesus said, "My time has not yet come." When it was at the appointed time, that's when Jesus Christ went to the cross. He fulfilled the plan in that He suffered and bled and died for all the people that God had chosen before the foundation of the world. And He secures the plan because it is now Him who worketh in you both the willing to do of His good pleasure. And remember, He is going to present you faultless before the Father. He is going to present you. He secures your salvation. Let's move on. God's providence in the future. You know, as I said, we live in a crazy place right now. Lots of events going on in our world that we're like, what's this world coming to? Listen, it should not surprise us that Israel is being attacked by the Palestinians. That shouldn't surprise us. It shouldn't surprise us to hear of wars and rumors of wars. It shouldn't surprise us that perilous times are upon us, that wicked men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. Why should those things not surprise us? Because God said it was going to happen, right? We know it. It should not surprise us. So if we understand this, that God has orchestrated the events of the past, it should not surprise us that God is orchestrating the events of the future. Perilous times are going to come. So what should we do? What did He tell us to do when we see the perilous times come? Be also ready, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. What we need to do is be ready for the Lord's return. Soon we know that the sun is going to come into the clouds. Soon we know the sun is going to come to the earth. Soon we know that Jesus Christ is going to set up His kingdom. Soon we know that Satan is going to be bound and then loose for a period of 1,000 years. Soon we know that Satan and death and hell are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Soon we know that a new heaven and a new earth are going to appear. How do we know that? God said it in His Word. We need to know, just like we believe that God controlled the events of the life of Joseph, we need to believe that God is controlling the events of this world, and we need to look to Him to guide us and understand that His providence is in control of all things. It shouldn't surprise us that Russia is coming back to power, should it? Gog and Magog, right? I mean, it shouldn't surprise us. The king of the north is going to come down against Jerusalem. That shouldn't surprise us. We know it's going to happen, you see, because God told us His providence is in control of it all. He's going to put hooks in their jaws, and He's going to draw them down against Jerusalem eventually. It shouldn't surprise us. It's going to happen. Why? Because God is God, and He is sovereign, and His providence is in control of all of the circumstances that are happening in this world. And God is in control of all the circumstances that are happening to you in your life. Nothing takes God by surprise. Nothing is going to happen to you that God has not already ordained the supply or that need. All you need to do is trust Him. All you need to do is walk with Him. And you'll be surprised what God has in store for you when you walk with Him. He supplies in amazing ways, and we can be thankful for that. So today, trust in the providence of God. Believe in the providence of God. And walk in God's providence. And you'll understand that when you face a circumstance, and you say, "I don't know what I'm going to do now." Know that God does. He knows exactly what He's going to do and how He's going to supply and how He's going to lead you through, because nothing takes Him by surprise. So walk by faith and trust in His providence.